And with that, today's daf is daf Samach Gimel in Shabbos. We are behind. We're back on Samach Beis Amud Beis. Not really that far behind, but it's, we have a lot of Agada to do today till we get to the today's daf. So let's get underway. We're quoting Pesukim from Amos, and then we're going to move to Yeshayahu, and we'll do a little bit from Parshas Vayikra. But mostly we're going to deal with the Tochacha of the Nevi'im. How did the Gemara get onto this discussion? We quoted a pasuk in Amos yesterday to help us through some of the definitions in the Mishnah. So now, as long as the Gemara does this, the Gemara gets on to the Perek of Amos, a particular Perek of Amos, and then just continues to darshan. So we're at the two dots. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. The words we're starting with is voracious. Okay, as you can probably guess, my Tanakh knowledge is pretty weak. So probably going to do a very bad job pronouncing these psukim. So please bear with me. The pasuk starts off Reishis Shmanim Yimshachu. So Reishis Shmanim Yimshachu. Thank you. Told you. So the pasuk says that that you're going to be the first of the oils you're going to douse yourself with, anoint yourself with. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Zeplaitan Zeplaitan. So like we discussed yesterday, the women went out. The women who did not have a pleasant odor, so they wore this type of pouch, the sack that has. Oh, we did all this?
Sure.
Yes.
How far? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no. Next two dots. Next two dots. Good. Hashochven Amito Shein. Okay, I'm sorry. Good. Hashochven Amito Shein. Thank you. Visiruchim ala risosam. So the Gemara continue with Psukim in Amos. And now this is Tochacha, meaning he is rebuking and reprimanding the people, and he's telling them this is what's going to happen. So they sleep on their bed, Shane, and Tsruchim Alarisosam, and they are disgusting on their mattresses. Now, obviously he speaks to them in metaphor and very vague terms. The Gemara tries to untangle. Am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin Malami Shayu Mishtan Mayim Bifnei Mikosei Marumim. So the Gemara says that what they did is that they urinated in front of their beds while they were naked. Now, it's hard to imagine that. In other words, in of itself, the act in of itself, what do they gain by that? Maybe it's just simply such a disrespectful act. It's such a vulgar way to behave. Anyway, but he says that's the pshat in the pasuk. So, Megadib bar Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Abba hears this, he says, that can't stop pshat in the pasuk. In other words, it could be they did that, but that's not the pshat in the pasuk. Because then the pasuk in Amos goes on to say, you're going to be number one, meaning you're going to be cast off number one from those that are exiled out of Eretz Yisrael. So mishum demishtan emayim bifnei mitosem arimim yigol berosh golim, meaning I understand that that's vulgar behavior. But you're not going to be number one. You're not going to be number one exile out of Eretz Yisrael. And it doesn't sound like the crime is going to match the punishment. So the Gemara says it was talking about a community, a group of people living in Eretz Yisrael who commingled and intermingled. And they intermingled to the point where they even engaged in swapping with each other's wives. And they engaged in niyuf, in adulterous relationships. And so the Gemara says, now we're talking, meaning now we understand why it is that they're going to be exiled by Rosh Golim. But as long as Gemara spoke about the vulgar behavior of urinating in front of your bed while you're naked, so the Gemara is going to spend a couple more minutes discussing it. Ve'elohein. Three things lead to poverty, meaning three forms of behavior, which are not outright isurim, but just simply not appropriate behavior. Number one, amashin mayim libifne mitaso arom. So urinating in front of your bed while you're naked. Two, mazalz b'ntilas yadayim, not taking enough care in the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. Ushiishta mekalas b'fanav, and getting your wife so angry with you that she curses you in front of others. So we're going to go step by step. The Gemara says this is vulgar behavior if and only if you're facing your bed while you're doing it. Meaning, if you get off the bed and then you urinate and you're not facing the bed, so that's not as vulgar a behavior. Again, in the privacy of your own home, you got to remember, they didn't have outhouses back in the good old days, so in other words, right there, they had dirt floors. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if you're not facing your bed, that's fine. Meaning that's not a vulgar behavior, and that would be fine. Now, the only Isser over here, Isser, right? When it's vulgar behavior is when you're just simply going right on the floor. However, if you have some sort of potty that you go into, so a urinal, so that would be fine even though you're facing your bed. Okay. Number two, Mezalza Matilas Yadayim. So Rava tries to qualify and he says, look, if you this behavior of not carefully washing your hands, that's only if you don't wash your hands at all. But if you wash your hands a little bit, that's fine, says Rava. Valav Mil, so the Gemara says, no, but don't buy into that. Because when I wash my hands, I use a full cup. And in correspondence to the amount of water I use to wash my hands, that's the kind of bracha I receive. Ushisha Mikalas, Bafanav, the Gemara now goes to number three, is getting your wife so angry with you. So Amar Rav Aliske Tachshitaha. And so what's the fight over? The fight's going to be over money. And not just money, but jewelry. Meaning that you end up being cheap regarding her, and you don't give her any money for jewelry. And the Gemara makes the obvious point. Obviously, this is only dealing with a scenario where the husband has money, but refuses to give any to his wife so that she can buy jewelry and clothing with that money. Darash Rava Breid Ravi Lai Mai Dechsiv. Okay, now we were dealing with the Psukim and Amos, and the Psukim and Amos deal with the behavior of the people at the end of Bais Rishon. So now we're going to continue the same theme, but we're going to now move to Yeshayahu. Third parak of Yeshayahu, Vayomer Hashem Yanki Gavu Benot Zion Shayu Mahachus Bekom Zekufa. Sorry, I got to indicate where the pasuk ends and where the Gemara begins. Vayomer Hashem Yanki Gavu Benot Zion. Okay, the daughters of Israel were arrogant. Shayim ha'achus become a zakufa. They walked with an upright posture, meaning they did not walk modestly. They walked very immodestly. But telachna netuyos garon, they walked with literally the neck being exposed, meaning just again more arrogance. Shayim ha'achus ekev b'tzad godel. So the Gemara explains this to mean that they took very small steps, heel to toe, meaning when they walked by you, they didn't walk in a brisk manner, but they walked really slow in order to direct attention to themselves. Umisakros einayim. The Gemara describes, again, first of all, this is a pasuk. Umisakros einayim, and the Gemara now describes, to have a malan kuchla le'einayu. A lot of makeup. Umeramzon haloch v'tifuf. The pasuk goes on to describe these women. When they would walk, they would make sure that a tall woman would walk right alongside a short woman in order to show her height and to show off her height. Back to the Navi Yeshayahu, the Gemara explains what this pasuk means. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Debei Rabbi Ami Malam Shematilas Mor VaAfar Saman Ben Minatleim. Here's what their move was. They would put spices into their shoe. Umahalchus Beshuki Yerushalayim, and they would walk through the marketplace of Yerushalayim. The Kevin Shemigias Eitzal Bechuri Yisom. When they approached the young man, Beutos Bekarka, what they would do is they would stamp their foot on the ground, breaking the whatever was holding the perfume. Umatizos Aleihem, and that would direct a strong scent into the direction of the young man. Umachnisus by Yetzahara Keeres, giving them a Yetzahara like poison. Keeres Bichos. My Purana Sehem, so the Gemara now, okay, that was their behavior. Obviously, immodest behavior by the women of Yerushalayim at the end of Bais Rishon. So the Gemara now wants to know, what's the retribution? What's going to be their punishment? So we go on in the Pesukim. Kedadarish Rabba Barula Vayatachas Bosem Mak Yiyah. And the Gemara goes on to explain, Makim Shayu Mispasmos Bo Nasem Namakim Namakim. The place where they would put perfume, so those places would start withering away. The tachas chagura nakfa, makom shayu chagurs betzotzo nasu nekafim nekafim, and the place where they would put their belt, so that place also of their bodies would start withering away. The tachas maaseh maksha karcha, makom shayu miskashos bo naaseh karachim nekarachim, and the places where they would adorn themselves, so those places would literally become bald, again, just more physical deformation. The tachas pat yagil machgura sak. The Gemara goes on to explain this part of the pasuk. Psachim amivim liday gila yulamach guras sak. The places where they expose themselves for inappropriate behavior, so those places will be worn with sackcloth, which is a sign of avelus. Hisachas Yofi. Amar Rava Haynu Darmi Inshi Chilufei Shofra Kiva. Where there was beauty, there's now going to be kiva. Rashi says basically pus. Visapech Hashem Kadkoz Benos Tzion. The Gemara goes on to quote more psukim from this parak in Yeshayahu. This is the third parak of Yeshayahu. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Malami Shaparcha Vem Tzaras. For these women who act in an immodest fashion, so they were afflicted with tzaras. Ksiv hacha v'sapach, uksiv hasam l'sa'es u'l'sapachas. V'ashem pashen ya'ara. And finally, the Gemara quotes from back to Yeshayahu. Rav Shmuel, the Gemara has a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, exactly what this phrase of the pasuk means. Chadamar shenishpachu kikiton. They poured like a jug, meaning that they bled from there, from the private area, and that was their punishment. And another says that the area of the Tashmish was thick and dense. The Gemara goes on to now point out that Anshe Yushalayim, during this time period when the women acted this immodestly, so the men also behaved in an immodest fashion, they spoke immodestly. The Gemara describes it as Anshe Shachatz. Anshe Shachatz, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Medabrim Balashan Gaiva Velage Safa. They spoke very arrogantly and just extraordinarily and appropriately. The Gemara is going to give very clear examples of what that is. Hayu Adam Omer Lechaveiro. A man would say to his friend, Bamasa Arata Yom, what did you eat today? Bapasamela Pasha Eno Amela. Bread that was needed or bread that was not needed. As Rashi points out, but the Gemara is going to say it in just a moment, all these are metaphors. They were speaking about their conquests, and they spoke about women, they objectified women, and needless to say, just based on the descriptions that we're going to be having over here, they spoke in very crass terms about women. So this is, again, the conversation they were having with one another, the immodest speak. So, bepasamela pasheino amela, Rashi says, pasamela is an allusion to a woman who is a ba'ula, pasheino amela is a reference to a woman who is a basula. Biyain gur dali, o biyain char dali. This is a reference to white wine versus dark wine. Again, it's an allusion. It's to the women, whether the shade of, whether she is light or dark. B'masev rachav or b'masev katsar. Again, Rashi points out this is an allusion to the size of the woman. B'chaver tova, b'chaver ra. A good friend or a bad friend, Rashi says this is an allusion to just simply being, was she an attractive woman or an unattractive woman? Amar Rav Chisda v'kulan liznus. You're right, if you haven't figured it out yet, well, I mean, we had all the Rashis, but they were all, this is all euphemisms for relations with women, and obviously an incredibly crass way to speak in general. Amarach v'amarav Yehud, Atzei Yerushalayim, Shalkin Namon Haya, Hayu, Uvishah Shehayu Mesikin Mehen Reichen Godev Bechol Eretz Yisrael. Now, why the Gemara brings in this last piece of Agadata before the Mishnah, not particularly sure what the continuation is, but I venture to guess that, and you see this very often, after the Gemara goes through a lot of just bad, 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 the Gemara does not want to end off on anything bad, so the Gemara has, you know, one nice piece of Agadata. But that's really very simple, what I just suggested. It's got to go deeper than that. Okay, I'm sure there's more to it than just that. There was a tree in Yerushalayim, it was a cinnamon tree. Most of the trees of Yerushalayim were made up of cinnamon. So when they would burn these cinnamon trees, the pleasant odor went through all of Eretz Yisrael. And once the base of Mikdash was destroyed, nignazu. So they were put into Geniza. And all we have left is just a little bit, a small remnant, the size of a barley, of the cinnamon trees of Yerushalayim, and Meshtachich Begazeh, Ditzim Samai Makasa, and you're going to go and find it in the treasure house of the Queen Simsamai. Have I heard her name ever before in Chas? I don't think so. Rashi says that's actually her name. Okay. If you know anything more about her, please. We start now with the next Mishnah, Lo Yetze Ha'ish. Now, we talked about, so far in the Mishnah, in the sixth parak, what a woman cannot go out with on Shabbos. The parak began going all the way back to Nun Zion, And we've already dealt with a number of Mishnayos in terms of what a woman cannot go out with on Shabbos, either because it's a tachshit, it is jewelry, but the Gzera de Rabbanan, the rabbis decreed that a woman cannot go out with these things on Shabbos. And the last Mishnah we did also on yesterday's daf also dealt with a list of things that a woman cannot go out with on Shabbos, mach and hanakuva, and we talked about rings as well. Now we focus our attention on men. Men cannot go out on Shabbos with weapons. Now I'm not talking about during actual warfare itself. If it's actual warfare and the war continues through Shabbos, that is a different story. We're just talking about in general. Right? The guy's got a helmet in his house, shin guards, right? Even swords and spears. So, man cannot go out with them on Shabbos. Okay, let's go step by step. Let me just explain each one of these. Saif is a sword, Keshis is a bow, Tris is a shield, Alam, the Gemara is going to point out, is a mace, Velo Baromach is a spear, V'im Yatzah Chayev Chatas. Now, if he goes out with any of these items on Shabbos, it will be Chayev Karban Chatas, meaning it's not a Tachshit at all. It's a Masui, it's a burden. And so therefore, for a man to go out with any of these items on Shabbos, he'd be chayv karmen chatos. Rabbi Elazar Amar Tachshit in Hein Lo, Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's a Tachshit. The Chachamim Amarim Eino Ela Ligenai. Now the Chachamim say, look, it's embarrassing. Now these Chachamim over here presumably agree with Rabbi Eliezer. Presumably, because we already have the opinion of the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says it's a Masui, it's a burden. So hard to imagine now that the Chachamim are just going to be reiterating the position of the Tanakhama. Ostensibly, the Chachamim over here are agreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, but just making a critical judgment about the person who goes out with these weapons. Shenemar, and how do I know that? The Pasuk in Yeshayahu. We spent a lot of time already in the third parak of Yeshayahu. We back up to the second parak of Yeshayahu. V'chitatu charvosam li'itim v'chanu seseyem. What haftorah for what? Remember? All right. I know it's a haftorah. Okay. All right. Beer is tahora. V'yotzeba b'shabbos kvalim tamein v'in yotzim ben b'shabbos. So beer is, first of all, it's tahora. The Gemara just stuck that in there, agav orche. Meaning it's a type of clothing worn by a woman, but it's not mekabel tumah. So in other words, it's clothing, but it's not clothing. What is it? So I think we talked about it already. It's a garter. It's a garter belt. We'll talk more about it later this morning. So a woman can walk out with it on Shabbos, even though it's not clothing, but she can go out with it. So obviously you should be very confused, meaning if it's not clothing, so how could she go out with it? I know it's not clothing because it's not mekabel tumah, so stay tuned. We'll talk more about it later this morning. Kvalim are tamei vein yosim ben b'shabbos, but the kvalim, they're tamei that's mekabel tumah, and you cannot go out with it on Shabbos. Okay, stay tuned. We'll discuss what that is as well later on. The first point the Gemara makes is my ba'ala. The only thing the Gemara didn't know what it was is the Allah, meaning all the other weapons. The Gemara is self evident, pretty clear. So the Gemara says kufa. That is the kufa. That's mace. It's Rashi gives a description of what it is. Anyway. The mitzuka, okay. If you understand French, Rabbi Lazar Amar Tachshit in Hein Lo Tanya. Amalo the Rabbi Lazar v'chim me'achet Tachshit in Hein Lo mibnei ma'hin b'tein le'mos Mashiach. Okay, and this now will turn into just an unbelievable discussion, a great discussion about warfare and the attitude towards warfare in general. Now, remember, in our Mishnah, we're judging the man going out on Shabbos wearing weaponry. Both armor and actual weapons themselves. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's fine. Meaning, it's tachshitin. It's the jewelry of men. So in other words, what he clearly is doing is he's glamorizing these items, these articles of warfare. And basically, Rabbi Eliezer says, good. Man wants to go out on Shabbos wearing his helmet, wearing his shin guards, holding a sword in his hand. So a sword in a hand for a man is like rings for women, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, and those who argue with Rabbi Elazar, this is their counter argument. Tanya, Amar lo the Rabbi Elazar v'chi me'achet the tachshit ein hein lo mimei malahin b'tein le'mos Mashiach. So I ask you, Rabbi Eliezer, if you're right, if this so glamorized, if it's so glorified, so when we get to Yemos Mashiach, we're not going to have them anymore. There's not going to be war anymore. So Amar lahem lefisha einem tzrichim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, look, my position's not going to change. I am not moving. I'm not budging. I think they're glorified. I think it's great. Why are people going to go out with it during the Yemos HaMashiach? Only because you don't need it. Meaning, it's still just as glamorous. The sword, the spear, the mace. But just not going to be war. So, Shenamar, Lo Yisagoya Goy Cherev. V'tehavilenoi ba'alma. So, the Chachamim continue to argue with Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, granted, but still, if you think it's so great, why don't we just simply go out with it? So, it's just simply as a fashion statement. Amar Abaye, Midedahavi, Ashraga B'tiara. So, Abaye answers, which means that the Bryce has ended, and this is now the Gemara's like post Bryce commentary. So Abaye says, "Look, it's in other words, during the daytime, are you going to go out with a candle? No, I just don't need it anymore. Meaning, it's just there's no necessity for it. I won't go out. There's still function to the candle. Just I don't need it during the day. So too during the times of Yemos Mashiach, you won't need a spear. You won't need a sword. It's just right. It's so in other words, there's no point in going out with it." But still, Rabbi Lazar's position is, I feel that they're great. Upligi de Shmuel. So now basically what we're saying outright, is that during the Yemos HaMashiach, the world will change. The world will change, meaning Yemos HaMashiach is, we're still here on this earth. Mashiach comes and there will be something monumental that's going to happen. Now, up until now, the thinking is of the Chachamim that no more warfare. Meaning the world will totally turn into some utopia. Okay, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. Now, Upligi de Shmuel, now this position of the Chachamim argue with Shmuel. Now, it is odd that we're pitting a Braisa against Shmuel. Now, we're pitting a Braisa against Rav, but that's fine because we've done that many times before, and the Gemara says, Rav Tano Palig, how can we pit a Braisa against Shmuel? It's a good question. It requires a response. Not that I have one, but the Gemara over here points out Shmuel disagrees. Amar Shmuel ein bein olam hazeh leimos haMashiach ela shibud galios bilvad. The only difference between the world as we see it right now and the Yemos HaMashiach is that we're going to be an autonomous nation. But outside of that, nothing changes. Which means, according to Shmuel, during the times of Mashiach, warfare, right? Economic woes, right? Everything that we see in the news today will continue during Yemos HaMashiach, with the only exception being that we're going to have an autonomous nation. Okay, I know that's not exciting. It's not an exciting way to view Yemos HaMashiach. Tosus first of all points out that don't take the Gemara super literally, says Tosfos, because obviously we'll have a Beis HaMikdash of what to talk about, and in other words, there will be spiritual changes, but in terms of the physical world that we live in, it will all be the same. No laws of nature will change. And no laws of human behavior will change as well. We'll just have our own independent nation. That is the opinion of Shmuel. Now, what makes for an interesting discussion, and a chabur in of itself, is does the Rambam agree with Shmuel's position? Because you'll note that the Rambam actually quotes Shmuel, but there are many comments within the Rambam himself who indicate that he does not agree totally with the position of Shmuel. The discussion in and of itself, what the Rambam's position is, you got to right on another occasion, not now. Shenamar ki lo yachdal av yom mikarav haaretz, and Shmuel's pasuk that he quotes is ki lo yachdal av yom mikarav haaretz. You're never going to lose poor people in this world. Meaning there are always going to be poor people. And when we say always, we mean even after Yemos HaMashiach, even during the Yemos HaMashiach. Now, this will not agree with Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, meaning Rabbi Chiya, meaning not Shmuel. The Braisa who argues with Shmuel is going to agree with Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, or let's say it the other way. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba will agree with the Braisa that when we get to Yemos HaMashiach, the world will change. There will be no more war. It will be utopia. The world is going to change. Because we have nevuah after nevuah. And this is what's going to happen. And bears and wild animals are no longer going to attack. And in other words, the Nevi'im speak about, whenever they speak about, you know, the next stage of this world, they speak about how it's going to be a total change of nature and more like a utopia. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says, you know what they're talking about? They're talking about Yemos HaMashiach. But then when you get to Olam Haba, which is a stage after that, Ayin L'Ra'as Elokim Zoroscha, meaning that we can't even contemplate. Even the Nevi'im cannot contemplate that. The only thing they're describing is Yemos HaMashiach. Okay? So to quickly summarize now, we have a basic machlokis in terms of what will be happening during Yemos HaMashiach. The Shmuel camp is that nothing changes. The world will remain the same. Nature remains the same. There's still going to be wars. There's still going to be economic woes. There's still going to be poor people. The only thing that changes is that the Jewish people will be in Eretz Yisrael, living in an autonomous country. So who, what? Why? Because we want an autonomous nation, and we want Eretz Yisrael, and we would like all the Jews to move back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, yeah. So that's the Shmuel camp. Then there's the Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba camp. The Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba camp is that no, that during Yemos HaMashiach the world will enter into a different set of natural law, and it will be more like a utopia, and there will be no more wars, and that is the position of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is supported by the Braisa that we just quoted, and presumably Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is also supported by our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that yes, in other words, in the time to come, there will be no more wars. So that doesn't follow a Shmuel thinking; that follows Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba thinking. So as I pointed out, it is difficult that Shmuel is basically pitting himself against Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Braisa, and presumably Mishnah as well. Okay, but obviously Shmuel has a Masara for his position, as. He's not, you know, I can't imagine that he's just there on an island, you know, thinking that nothing changes during Yemos HaMashiach. Okay, that's, so in our Gemara, even though it's coming off of a Mishnah that talks about the halachas of what a man can and cannot wear into Rosh HaSarabim, what comes out is a very basic machlokis in basic Jewish hashkafa of what the world will be during the Yemos HaMashiach. Now, we're going to do this again. The Gemara is going to have a slightly different version of the discussion, but really, all the conclusions that we just arrived at are pretty much going to be the same. Here, the argument to Rabbi Eliezer is, we're not going to need them anymore during Yemos HaMashiach, so why do you think that they're so great, these weapons? And now, here in the second version, Rabbi Eliezer is going to be the position of Shmuel. The Heinu de Shmuel, the Pliga de Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, meaning Rabbi Eliezer's position is, no, we're still going to need them, even during the Yemos HaMashiach. Amalei Abai L'Rav Dimi, V'Ami L'Ala Rav Yavi, V'Ami L'Ala Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef L'Rav Dimi, V'Ami L'Ala Rav Avi, V'Ami L'Ala Abai L'Rav Yosef. I will now breathe.
Well, I'm certain about them.
Right. My time of the Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar Tachshitin Heinlo, Dechsiv Chachor Chabrecha Al Yadcha, Gibor Hodcha Vehadarcha. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that you're going to gird yourself with your sword and you're going to be a great man. Hodcha Vehadarcha. It will be your splendor. It will be your glory. Describing the sword. So, in other words, this Pasuk in Tehillim seems to indicate, like Rabbi Eliezer, wear them. They're wonderful. These weapons are wonderful. Amle Rav Kahan Lamar Berei Rav Huna Hai Bedivrei Torah Ksiv. No, that pasuk in Tehillim, do not read that pasuk literally. That pasuk is not talking about weapons. It's talking about Torah. Amle Mikra Yosef Ben Nepshuto. So he says no. In other words, look, that's drush. That's wonderful, but that's not the simple pshan the pasuk. And ein mikra yotzei min dei pshuta, meaning don't leave from the simple pshat in the Torah. I'm Rav Kahana Kadhavina bar Tamnei Srei Shnin. Rav Kahana says I was 18 years of age. V'hava gemirna le'lekula hashas, and I went through all of Talmud by 18. Okay, v'lo havi adana dei mikra yotzei min dei pshuta. And Rav Kahana says, but I still didn't know that ein mikra yotzei min dei pshuta, meaning this idea. Because when you learn Gemara, so you go through drush after drush after drush, and sometimes you lose sight of the simple pshat in the pasuk and adahashta. But until this very point in time, now Rav Kahana says, "Now I know my kamash malan deligmar inish vadalispar." And the Gemara says, and one of the takeaway points is that learn and then understand. Meaning, I know it's somewhat counterintuitive. Meaning, very often, especially in our you know, quote unquote modern educational system, you know, you got to understand everything you're learning. The Gemara says, no, you don't. Meaning, you'll come, you'll hear, you'll, you know, even if you don't fully understand everything that's flying, that's good, you'll learn, and then afterwards, then you'll start processing, and then you'll start understanding, and it'll start sinking in. Right? I'm testimony to that. It's true by me. It could end up being true by you. If I can just deviate for a moment from the daf, it's unbelievable how it works out. This week's parsha. You want to see? It's a fascinating commentary by the Rashbam. It's in the beginning of this week's parsha. The Rashbam points out. Now you know the Rashbam is the grandson of Rashi, right? Rashi had a son-in-law by Reb Meir, married his daughter, and had three children. The Rashbam, the Rivam, Rabbeinu Tam. Rashbam was the oldest. The Rashbam, Rav Shmuel ben Meir, learned with his grandfather. Sat and learned with his grandfather. And I'm not going to go through all the details, but it's fascinating. You have to see it. You know, the Rashi wrote a Perush Tuchumish. I'm sure we're all familiar. His grandson, the Rashbam, also wrote a Perush Tuchumish. I don't know if everyone's familiar with that. It's not as common as Rashi. You'll find every Chumash with Rashi. But if you have a Mikros Gadol, you'll see the Rashbam also wrote a Perush to Chumash as well. The Rashbam's Perush to Chumash, so he writes in the beginning of this week's Parsha that, you know what my grandfather tried to do? He tried to say Pshat on Chumash. Right? That's what Rashi attempted to do. But very often you're going to find Rashi time and again through his Perush on Chumash ends up quoting Midrashim. Okay? In other words, and so, but even though Rashi, you know, his mission statement is, I will attempt to give Pshat and Chumash, but very often he ends up saying Midrashim. The Rashbam writes in the beginning of this week's Parsha that I will follow my grandfather's mission statement, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay more with Pshat. Meaning my grandfather, as much as he wanted to stay with Pshat and Chumash, very often he deviated and he went to Medrashim and Midrashim, but I will stay more on task in terms of just saying Pshat and Chumash. And then he goes on to write. Now I'm paraphrasing, so please look it up yourself. Don't trust me. And then he goes on to write that my grandfather saw what I'm writing, and my grandfather said to me that if I were to do it all over again, I would do it more like you. Take a look at it inside. It's fascinating, Rashman. But anyway, ties in one, and it's the beginning of this week's Parsha. And it ties wonderfully to what Rav Kahana learned, even after going through all of Shas, he learned the idea of Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuta.
A plug for a fellow Torah interpreter, there's an English translation of Rashbam by Rabbi Marty Lokshin.
Oh yeah?
He went through at least done the whole of Rashbam.
So you're agreeing with the one I quoted today? I hope so. Anyway, Siman Zarus. We are in the Gemara now, we're right in the middle of the Amud Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and Amar of Yirmiya, Amar of Elazar. Okay, the Gemara now is going to go well into the realm of, I don't know if we want to call this Agadata. It's Agadata, it's more like Hashkafa. But the Gemara now is going to talk about the importance of learning together, and not just learning together, but also showing respect to one another when learning. The Gemara is going to say this in a number of different ways, but really the Gemara is going to be hammering the same point again and again. Two students learning together, and they sharpen one another in halacha. So Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for them hatzlacha, success. And why does the Gemara turning its attention to this topic? Because just a moment ago we quoted the pasuk in Tehillim Perek Mem Hey. So now, as long as we're here, we're going to continue now quoting pesukim from this parak. The pasuk says vahadarcha tzlach, tzlach from the word atzlacha. Al tikre vahadarcha ela vechadadcha. Vahadarcha can be similar to the word chadadcha. Just the hay and the ches are going to, and the dal and the resh. Okay, I understand. But this is drush. You're allowed to. You have that kind of poetic license in the world of drush. V'lo od ela sha'olin l'gdula. In addition to that, both of them will become great. Shenem atzlach rechav. They're going to mount on horses, and they're going to. Horses is a simon for greatness. Yalcha afilu shalol l'shmata malam al dvar emes. The Gemara says, I might have thought, even if they're learning a shalol l'shma, no, the Gemara says, it has to be al dvar emes. It has to be that their learning is l'shma. Not for the purpose of becoming great, but for the purpose of learning. The greatness comes on its own. Yachlim higiz dato And what if they become arrogant? The Gemara says, Tamalama anavat tzedek. The Gemara says, no, they cannot become arrogant. Meaning, if in this process they are arrogant, they will not receive this hatzlacha. V'imosin kein zoch l'torah sh'nina b'yamin. And if they are zocha, they will then receive the Torah which was given in with the right hand, sh'nemar. V'soras chan naros yiminecha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar zoch l'dram sh'nemar b'yamina shel Torah. They will be zocha for things that are said with the right of the Torah. How do you understand that? Damar Rava bar Rav Shila v'amir la. Amar Rav Yosef bar Chama Rav Sheshes my dechsev orich amim b'mina b'smola osher v'chavod. The length of days is with the right, and the left is wealth and honor. Ela b'mina orich amim ika osher v'chavod lake. And now the Gemara says, how do you even understand that? Meaning that the length of days is with the right hand, but osher v'chavod is not with your right hand. What is right-handedness about Orech Yomim, and what's left-handedness about Osher V'Kavod? Ela lemiyaminam ba Orech Yomim ika v'koshikin Osher V'Kavod. Lemas mi'ilam ba Osher V'Kavod ika Orech Yomim laika. The Gemara explains like this. If you learn Torah like right-handedly, right? We're going to take the word right-handed and we're going to turn it into an adjective. If you learn Torah, or an adverb, if you learn Torah right-handedly, now Rashi explains what that means is that just like a person with his right hand is able to do things well, obviously I'm speaking to the right-handed people in this room, no offense to the left-handed, but in other words, the right hand is the dominant hand, and if you apply yourself to Torah like you're using your right hand, meaning you're reading it carefully, you're investigating it, you paid its proper attention, so then you're going to get Orech Yomim, and for sure you're going to get Osher V'Kavod. But lemas me'ilim ba, but if your attention to Torah is like the way you do something with your left hand, right? You want to watch me throw a bowl with my left hand. So the Gemara says, Osher V'Kavod Ika Yerech Yomim Leika. Okay, so in other words, you'll get Osher V'Kavod, but you won't get Orech Yomim. Meaning that the Hatzlach and the Bracha that you will receive will obviously be a muted Bracha V'Hatzlach. Amr Rav Yirmi Amr Rabbi Shimon Malachi Shnei Tamid Chachamim. I'm sorry, Shnei Tamid Chachamim. Hanochim Zelazeba Halacha. They're pleasant to one another in Halacha, meaning they listen to one another and they're not out to get one another. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Makshiv Lahem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu listens to them. Simple mida keneged mida. Shenem Raz Nidbur Yirei Hashem mean Dibur Ela Nachas. And the word Dibur means that they speak pleasantly to one another. Shenem Raz Yadbur Amim Tachtenu. My ulechoshve shmo. Again, the Gemara just, as long as it's quoting a pasuk, tries to get every drush in with that pasuk. Amar Rabbi Ami, afilu chishav asos mitzvah, venena so aso velo aso, mala lavakasov ki'ilu aso. If you contemplate and consider and plan on doing a mitzvah, but even with man's best plans, it just didn't work. The mitzvah didn't work out. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you credit ki'ilu asa. Amar Chinah bar Idi kol ha'osei mitzvah kema'amara ein mevasen osar besuros raos. If you do a mitzvah as per the books, meaning you do it exactly as instructed by the Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh, so you will not hear besuros raos, you will not get bad news. Shenamer shomer mitzvah lo yada davara. Amar avasi vitem Rav Chinah afilu Kadosh Baruch Hu goes gzera. Hu mevatlam. Even if a Kadosh Baruch Hu goes there gzera, where you have a bad decree against you, but you do a mitzvah and you do it properly, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is mevatel the gzera. Shenamar b'asher diber melech shaton umi yomar lo matase usmich lei shomer mitzvah lo yada davar ra. A shomer mitzvah, even though he was given a gzera, lo yada davar ra, the gzera will be torn up. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Melaki Shnei Tamid Chachamim Makshivim Zela Zeba Halacha Kadosh Baruch Hu Shomei LaKolan. I know this sounds very similar to the previous one. This is now our third description of how Tamid Chachamim are learning with one another. If they listen to each other, Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to them. Three sounds a lot like two. Shenemra Yoshvos Beganim Chavirim Makshivim LaKolech Hashmiini. V'im Ein Osin Kein. Now, if they don't listen carefully to one another, Gormim Lishchina. Shemistalakis v'Yisrael causes the Shechina to leave. Shenemar Barach Dodi v'Dama. Amr Rabbi Ami, Amr Rav Shimon Malachi, Shnei Tamid Chachamim Hamadgilin Zelaze Behalacha. This is now our fourth description of Tamid Chacham, learning to give one another. Now the word that's used in the Gemara is Hamadgilim. Now, degel usually means a flag. Rashi over here explains it to mean, I'm reading Rashi, ma'asfin ze et ze. They collect one another, these two talmidim, these two students, v'omrim, ba v'nilmod, v'navin ben shneinu. Let's put our heads together. Meaning, we don't have a Rebbe right now to teach us, so you know what? Here we are. Let's work it out. Let's figure it out. I'm still reading in Rashi. Hol ve'ein lanu rav lamdenu. We don't have a Rebbe anymore, for whatever reason. So, let's put our heads together, let's work it out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ohavan. So they are going to receive a special love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar v'diglu alay ahava. Am Rav Avuhu di'adei tzirasa d'shmait. And now Rav says this will work, but they got to know the outline of what they're doing. They got to know something. Meaning two people who literally know nothing to try to get together, so you know what 0 + 0 equals. Okay. So you got, in other words, there has to be... There's got to be some semblance of knowledge between the two of them, so that now the sum total of their efforts will yield an understanding of Torah. Now, the Gemara points out that this last description of Talmidim learning together with one another is only specific to the time when they don't have a Rebbe. But if there's a Rebbe that they have in the community, and they still say, you know what, let's try to do this on our own, Gemara says that's not right. They should go to the Rebbe. Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Gado Hamal v'Yosem, and Aosef Tzedakah. Greater is the one who lends money than the one who gives tzedakah. You know the Rambam's 8 levels of tzedakah, right? I'm sure you're familiar. So level number 1, says the Rambam, is to get a person independent, to make him self-sufficient. So where does the Rambam get that from? I'd probably say our Gemara right over here. Gado hamal v'yosim enoset tzedakah. So to give somebody tzedakah, that's good, that's a mitzvah. But to give somebody a loan, so that now they can become self-sufficient, the Gemara says, that's even better. Umatel b'kis yosim ikulam. Now, matel b'kis, what does that mean? How is it different than a halva'ah? Rashi explains. Meaning, you give somebody capital. Meaning, somebody comes to you and says, look, I'm struggling, but I want to start a business. And you give him capital. That's even better. Meaning a loan just is, you know, you're not really investing with him. You're just simply, he needs money. So you give him a loan and he'll work out to pay you back. But if you give him venture capital so that now he could start his business, the Gemara says that's la'ela ula'ela. That's better than staka. That's better than just a regular loan. That is the best. And by the way, Rashi points out, meaning even though you're going to benefit yourself, meaning because if he succeeds, and I know I start off the sentence with the word if, but if he succeeds, so that means that you're going to share in the profit. But still, what you've now done is you took somebody and you put him on his feet. That's le'ela ula'ela. Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rav Shimon Melaki Shim Tamil Chacham Nokim Notek Nachash Hu Chagrei Al Masnecha Imam Aretzu Chasid Al Tidor B'Shchunasa. The Gemara here talks about the importance of a Tamil Chacham taking vengeance. Now I know, the Torah says, Lo Sikom V'lo Sitor, that you're not allowed to take vengeance. So what we're going to have to say is, and it's the Gemara over here, this Gemara is also, same Gemara and Pesachim. All right, what we're going to say is that the Isser in the Torah of Lo Sikom V'lo Sitor is that's talking about by Gashmias, things that have to do with the money, business. Okay, that no vengeance. But for the sake of Torah, a Talmud Chacham has to stand up and defend the honor and the sake of Torah. And even if that means that they have to take Nekama on behalf of the Torah, so that the Gemara says that's part of what defines a Talmud Chacham. So, and he must do so like a snake, and if so, Chagrei Al Masnecha, meaning put him on your side. However, Imam Haaretz Hu Chasid Al Tidor B'Shchunasa, but if he's just an Am Haaretz, and he's exacting vengeance as an Am Haaretz, the Gemara says, better not to be in his community. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Kol Megado, Kelav Rabbi Soch Beso, Monea Chesed Mitoch Beso. You raise a bad dog in your house, so you are preventing Chesed in your house. Rashi gives a very simple pshat. You have a crazy dog in your house. Now someone's knocking at your door asking for money. He hears a dog barking.
He runs away.
Simple pshat in the Gemara. Shenamar lamas merehu chesed. You will cause lamas. Now the word lamas, the Gemara goes on to explain. Shekein b'loshin yavan is koren lekelev lamas. Okay, I did not take Greek back in my earlier years, but the Gemara tells us that the word dog in Greek is lamas. Probably not pronouncing it correctly. Anyway, but that's, and so the first pasuk in Tehillim, right? Nope, pasuk in Iyov. So the pasuk in Iyov says that the lamas, the dog, meire ehu chesed, prevents your friend from receiving chesed. Right? The Rashi goes on to explain that the word, the mem, the prefix mem means you're taking something away from somebody. Rav Nachman Yisrael af parek mimenu yerushamayim. Raising a wild dog in your house removes yerushamayim shenemar v'yira shakai ya'azov. Ha'u yisisa da'ilalu beisa. The Gemara is going to tell a story. Really, it's a terrible story. A woman goes into a house, lemepe, in order to bake, meaning she needed an oven, she needed to borrow an oven. She goes to her next-door neighbor in order to borrow the oven of her next-door neighbor, and this woman is pregnant. Navach be'kava, the dog barks at the woman, right, the dog of this homeowner. It akir v'lada, her fetus inside of her shifts, i.e., she aborts the fetus inside out of the fear and the hysteria that she had from the barking dog. Amar lei mar de vasaihu. I'm sorry, mar de besa lo tidchili. So the owner of the house says, please don't worry. Don't be scared of my dog. Right, how many times have you heard this? Right? Don't be scared of my dog. Dishkili nibi vishkilin tufrei. Because we took out the claws from the dog, that's the tufrei, and we took out the canines from the mouth of the dog as well. There's nothing to be afraid of. He's not going to bite, and even if he does, and he's not going to scratch you because he's got no nails. Amr le shkuli tivosech v'shaje achorei. Kvar na vlad. And she says, look, it's too late. I'm so happy that you told me that. But you could have told me that earlier, and I would not have aborted the fetus. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Kolos. Now I only went through half of the pasuk. There's more pasuk to go, but the Gemara now is going to quote the pasuk and is going to explain who's speaking at which part of the pasuk. So I already read the first half of the pasuk. Let me just translate the first half, and then I'll move on to the second half. Be happy, young man, in your childhood. And let your heart be happy during your youth. Do whatever you want when you're a child. Sounds like great parenting advice. Whatever you see, in other words, do whatever you want. That's the first half of the pasuk. Vida, and you should know. God will judge you on all these things. So, as you could probably imagine, now I set it up, so you already know where the division in the pasuk lies. So, ad kan divrei yetzahara, mikan ve'elach divrei yetzatov. So, in other words, what this pasuk in Kohelet is describing is the conversation that takes place within you between your yetzahara and your yetzatov. So, the first half of the pasuk, that's your yetzahara, right? Enjoy, do whatever you want. It's good. It's all good. Whatever you see, enjoy. And then, the second half of the pasuk, starting with the words vida, and you should know that you're going to have to answer for all this, that's your Yetzer Tov talking. I'm Reish Lakish Amar, Adkan LeDivrei Torah, Mikan Ve'el Chlamasim Tovim. Reish Lakish says, no, I have another pshat in the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk is talking about Divrei Torah, meaning that when you go out to explore Torah, so you want to explore all facets of Torah. Meaning, take a look over here, take a look over there. Meaning, don't limit yourself to just a couple mesechtas, but really, you should go out there and you should look. And then the second half of the pasuk, vida ki kol eila yivyech elokim b'mishpat, God will judge you. That's a masim tovim. Meaning, and then the actions in which, let's see how well you learned your Torah. Meaning that if you learned your Torah well and you really integrated the Torah, so then you're going to practice. But if it wasn't an integration of Torah, so then, there's not much practice. Okay. Adkan divrei agadata. That was a lot, admittedly. That was a lot of agadata. The Gemara, let's go on. We have still a little bit more to cover, and we're certainly not going to finish, but Let's do a little bit more Gemara to finish off today. Beerus da'ara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Beerus du etzada. So it's a garter. So in other words, the women wear socks. Now it seems to me that this is talking about women, right? Yes. Sorry. Beerus da'ara v'yotzen ba b'shabbos. Yeah, I assume it's talking about women. Okay, so we're talking about the garters. The garters are what holds up the socks or the stockings. So, Beerus da'ara v'yotzen ba b'shabbos. V'ilu atzada tameyahi. The Gemara says, yeah, but these bracelets are tamea. Hachi kamer beiris tachas etzada omedes. So the Gemara says, no, the garters go in the place of the etzada of these bracelets. Meaning, these garters, they are not clothing, but they hold up clothing. So in other words, you can't call them an article of clothing because they're not. They facilitate the actual clothing themselves. So therefore, they're not mekabel tuma. Yosef Ravin Rav Huna Kame de Rav Yirmiyah v'Yosef Rav Yirmiyah v'Kame Nam Neim. Rav Yirmiyah was dozing off during a conversation between two other Amoraim. V'Yosef Ravin v'Kame Beerus ba'achas kvalim b'shtayim. Now he says, now when it comes to Beerus, that's one and kvalim are two. The Amalei Rav Huna ilav eilu b'shtayim. Now the Gemara says, no. Beerus also, in other words, you wear a garter on one leg, you wear a garter on the other leg. It's also two. What's the difference between Beerus and kvalim? So umatilin shalshos beneim v'nasu kvalim. In other words, when it comes to the kaveles, what that is that you have the two garters, one on the two thighs, and you have a chain chaining the two of them together. Why would a person do that? Stay tuned, as the Gemara is about to explain. V'shalshol shabo mashvelei mana. It's because now these two are chained together. So what that does now is it takes the garters and it turns it into a keli. Prior to that, it was not a kli. In other words, it was limbo. It's not an article of clothing, and it's not a kli, so therefore it's not mekabel tuma. But once you chain them together, now it becomes a kli, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. V'chitim, akar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, damar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayim l'mashmel kol b'kli matchos, shi tame. Now, maybe it's tame because it produces a sound. Shenem kol davar sher yavah b'esh, afilu deeper b'mashma. The Gemara says, because we know, we talked about this regarding the bell. The bell that produces the sound is mekabel tuma. Why? Because it produces a sound. Now, bishlam ha'asam kabal le'la kala v'kavin ma'isa. Now, by a bell, it was designed to produce a sound. That's why it's mekabel tuma. But hachamai ma'isa kavin. But over here, what are we talking about? Hachanami kavin ma'isa dam rabba b'rachanim rav yochanan mishpacha achas ha'isa b'yushalayim shayu psi osem gasos v'ayu besul osem no shros. Asulem kvalim v'itilu shalshos b'neim shelo yupsi oseihem gasos v'lo yubesul oseihem no shros. The Gemara explains like this. Here's what the chain did. The chain minimized the length of the stride. And there was a family in Yerushalayim who they had a condition where when they took wide steps, so it affected their dam besulim. And the Gemara describes the dam besulim would fall out. So what they did is that they wore the two garters. They chained the two garters together so that would inhibit the length of their stride. And now that their strides have been reduced, so the besul is no longer going to fall out. And that is what function these chains served. And because now they have a function to them, they now are a kli. Itar bar Rav Yirmiyah, we'll end with this. Rav Yirmiyah wakes up, Armaluhu Yiyasher. And he says, absolutely correct. Meaning he wasn't really sleeping, he was kind of like in and out. But when he heard the pshat, he says, absolutely correct, v'chinam Rav Yochanan. And that's exactly how I heard it from Rav Yochanan myself, that's exactly the purpose of these chains. Okay, we did a mission today in terms of going out with weaponry, an unbelievable discussion of the Gemara of what to expect during Yemos HaMashiach, a basic machlokas in terms of whether the world goes through any type of change during the times of Yemos HaMashiach. Shmuel says no, everyone else says yes, including the Nevi'im. An issue for Shmuel, and then we had a long discussion today about Talmidei Chachamim listening and respecting one another, and then we ended off today's daf with a discussion of the beeris of the garters worn by the women. It's not mekabel tuma, but at the same time a woman can go out with it on Shabbos. It holds up her socks. And then we finally said pshat in what is the kvalim, the chains, and why the chains were worn between the two garters. Learning we do this morning is for Refuah Shleima for Binyamin Zev HaKohen Ben Sharon Rivka. Adonai Chafetz Amantziko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadil.